Father, we thank you for your word this morning and everything you're doing with us here at Grace Church. We invite you, Holy Spirit, as the teacher, mature us, grow us, Lord, that when people see us, they see you. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Amen. We're in our third week as a church family on the series Generations. If you're new here to Grace, we want to welcome you and are certainly glad that you're with us here as leadership and discipleship, intentional investment and integrity are huge keys to the move of God's Spirit in this region, this area, to be sustained. Jesus wants our fruit to remain. Not that Grace Church was here for a while and then they vanished. Oh yeah, that was a good thing. No, we want what Christ has begun to continue on and its fruit to remain generation after generation after generation in whatever form he wants it to look like. Let's go back to Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land that I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. Imagine that. You're blessed to be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So here's a great promise from the Lord, and God's vision is to bless the whole earth. Can you see that in this passage? That all the families of the earth would be blessed. That's God's desire. And can I get a witness then that because of God's heart, we probably need to think multi-generationally. If he wants to bless the whole earth, there's babies being born today that God very much has interest in them coming to know him and having a relationship with him. My heart would absolutely break if our lives were all great. Then we went on to be with the Lord and our children suffered and our grandchildren suffered at the hands of the ideologies of this world. That would be tragic. And there's not, I believe, one person in here that differs from that opinion. That our lives were so amazing. We had it so easy. But our children and our grandchildren suffered in a world that really doesn't, for the most part, believe there is truth. Much less fall to untruth, which that in itself is an untruth. But we don't want them to succumb to godless thinking. We want them to know Jesus. We want them to know the way, the truth, and the life. God would be cruel if he put us on this planet with no master light for which we could see. Could you imagine? Just stumble in your dark, in the dark, people. Just hopefully you'll find your way. No, he sent us the way, the truth, and the life. There's a way life is to be lived. There is truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. So we don't just let the children wander adrift and, well, maybe they'll stumble into Jesus, but, you know, maybe just let them find their way. No, that's not good thinking. Now, is it their decision to receive Christ? Absolutely. But can we please model and be intentional about the truth with our children? Because if you don't tell them, all they're going to get is what the world pipes to them. And I'll go back to how I started. It would be a tragic loss that all our lives are great. We walked in freedom because we know the truth. And the truth will set you free. But our children were enslaved to bondage. Our children never discovered their true value from a creator who numbered the very hairs on their head. That's a tragedy that they would succumb to that lostness. We want to impart into them, not so they can know what we know or do what we did, like we did it, but so they can know who we know, that Christ himself would be their source. Amen, somebody. So they can be who he asked them to be, who he's gifted them to be. Religion says, no, you got to do it like we did it, right? We did three hymns by God. We pass an offering plate by God. That's what you better do. No, you better obey the Lord and do whatever he asks you to do. That's what success is in the kingdom of God, is doing what your father is asking you to do. I thank God for the older generation that was patient with me and my generation, who invested in us, who prayed for us. Man, the intercession, when you look at the intercession of the generation ahead of my generation. I'm 48 years old. It's amazing. When Grace Church started 20 years ago, I was 28 years old. And God began to gather seasoned intercessors all around us. Why? Because we needed it. We had no idea what we were doing. But I thank God they believed in us, and the older generation prayed for us and invested in us, and listen to this, gave us room to make mistakes. Nobody's at their best in fear. You ever get around Thanksgiving and you get all worried, or maybe somebody in the family's all worried, is it going to be done? Is it going to be enough? Is it going to be... That fear gets in there and it'll strain your relationships, because when one feels pressure, they'll pass it. Make sense? Nobody's at their best in fear. So we have to have older generations who, through perfect love and commitment to the younger generation, for better or for worse, through their good decisions and their bad ideas, that loves them perfectly. Why? Because nobody's at their best in fear. And I'm so proud of the staff. You know, Brother Jeremy said it this week. Sister Karen said it this week. They both said, you know, the real reality is that how Jesus is to us, that's how we need to be to each other and the other generations. And does Jesus discard us and throw us in the garbage when we blow it? Not the Jesus I know. I've had some of my worst days, and I can remember this. I remember walking out to the parking lot. I don't remember where I was. It was some time ago. But boy, I felt discouraged. Boy, I felt like I had blown it. I felt like I'd messed up. And guess who was there walking right beside me? Jesus was there. Walking right beside me. And just having the thought, if everybody else forsakes me, he won't. He won't. He'll put his arm around us. Perfect love. And he'll say, what can we learn from that? How do we grow from that? Not, Steve, I'm through with you, or you're not cut out for this. He'll never do that. But as we receive from him, that's how we need to be to each other and to the younger generation coming up. If you haven't written this down before, I encourage you to write it down now and put it on your fridge. Jesus will never be different through you than he is to you. So if Jesus is one way towards me, and he's full of perfect love, and he's there to pick me up when I fail and walk me through failures, not throw me in the garbage, then Jesus manifesting through me is going to be the same way. Doesn't mean we turn a blind eye to mistakes. That's not love. That has to be said in our culture, because this culture thinks love is don't say anything. People doing whatever they want to do is love. No, it's not. This is the love of God, that he gives us commands, instruction. That's love. Not, hey, decide for yourself. That's cruelty. Woo, come on, Holy Ghost. Free of charge. Jesus was generational in his thinking and his lifestyle, ministry. He wasn't afraid for his disciples to do greater works than he did. Think about that. Jesus was not afraid for his disciples to do greater stuff than him. Man, today it'd be like, hold on, boys. Remember, I'm the one they got to remember. They got to remember me. I'm the one with the goods here. Now, if he's not doing that, why do we do that? I'll say it again. Come on, Holy Ghost. He's preaching good, isn't he? Yeah. He is. He's talking to us. Jesus said, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. I'm going to go to the Father and send you the same Holy Ghost I have. You'll do greater things than me. He was okay with that. He celebrated his disciples' successes. Woo! Amen. See, Jesus is speaking to us to prepare our natural kids and our spiritual children. Both natural children, spiritual children, to go further than we ever did. We have to think generationally. The devil's thinking generationally. We better start thinking long term as well. He's talking to us to avoid the eunuch mindset. which just says, hey, serve me in my ministry. I don't want any other, you know, offshoots coming out of here. I'm the one everything's got to come out of. No, Jesus is the one that everything needs to be born out of. So the question then becomes, hey, how can we empower you? How can we serve you? Not how can you serve me? How can we serve you and empower you to go do great and be great? You see the difference? It's not come and see what I can do, be dependent on me. It's go and be who he's asking you to be. How can we help? I want everybody at Crest Foods and all those Dollar Generals and all those places we went to, those people are marked. Remember, it's his harvest. His harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest. So he's already owner of them. Now, they may not be born again yet, but he's the owner and creator of those people. I want every one of them to discover who they are in Christ and go be great and do great. I remember people asking years ago, I had other pastors ask, how many people come to your church doing these outreaches? Such a great idea to go and serve and, you know, free hot dogs, back to school supplies, Thanksgiving outreach, 4th of July, open up the parking lot, serve them, and it doesn't cost them anything. It's all for free. You guys pay for all of it. And they'll say, how many people come to your church? They think the reason we do it is so people will come to church. We want people to know Jesus. Church can't help anybody. So what if they come and never know him? They'll just go to devil's hell. But are there any Americans who think, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church? Sure there are. They need to know Christ. There's more church members in America than there are Christians in America. Man, I tell you, I don't know where Steve went, but he is not here. Holy Ghost is talking to you this morning. I don't know where he is, but think about that. There's more church members than there are Christians. Brethren, not to be so. Shouldn't be that way. So we want people to know Christ. And church then is once they know Christ, they can come and be part of family, be part of the kingdom of God. That's our role. We're not the answer. We carry the answer. We offer the answer. Jesus is the answer. Make sense? I'm for the church, but I'm for the church in its proper function. Jesus wants what he's begun in us for the last 20 years to be reproduced and to explode in the next generation, to multiply in the next generation, to be 1,000 times more in the next generation. If you think it's just happenstance that Grace Church is here, it's not happenstance. The church planting, when you plant a church, probably 25% of them make it. So you got that. And then second of all, the guy that the Lord tapped to start it is in speech two in college class, and his knees are shaking, and his board that you know, had to draw a diagram of what you're teaching, what your speech is on. I'm shaking. But look what the Lord has done. He did it. Isn't that amazing? Because I only tell you that because in college, in my speech two class, that's just natural Steve. That's Steve backed by Steve. Which ain't a whole lot of backing. Amen, George? But look what the Lord has done. What if Steve gives his heart and life to Jesus with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength? Then you got this Steve who loves to communicate, loves to share, wants more than anything for people to know him. That's the Lord. Only God can do that. So if you think this 20-year thing is just happenstance, you're wrong. God has built this thing. God has done this by his own hand. And so because of that, I can promise you, he wants this thing to continue to explode and expand over the next 20 years. Amen. Can we clap our hands for that this morning? True. So how do we begin? And I encourage you to take notes these last 20 minutes because I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you this morning. How do we begin? Because we're going to have to be intentional. If we want to see our families and our generations changed and move towards Christ, well, there's some things that we can do. Because if we sleep, this can happen. This is Judges 2:7. So the people serve the Lord all the days of Joshua. and all the elders, they saw the great works of the Lord. But verse 10, when all that generation was gathered to their fathers, another generation arose who didn't even know the Lord. So it can happen if we sleep, if we're not intentional. So how do we begin? And you may say, hey, Brother Steve, my family tree is beyond repair. I got the Charlie Brown tree. You may think, you don't know what's going on in my family. Right? Don't raise your hand. You don't know what's going on in my family. You don't know what words have been spoken. You don't know what deeds have been done. You don't know what's been introduced to our family lineage. Well, I don't need to know. Because here's number one. We want to see change in our families. Get God's heart for your family. Change your confession. And listen, I know that out of an abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So I'm going to deal with your heart here in just a second. But number one, can we just change our verbiage? I don't need to hear every bad thing that's ever happened and that there's no hope anything will ever change. Get God's heart of your family. I promise you, He's not looking at your family thinking, yep, you're right. Nothing we could do. No hope for you guys. I promise you He's not saying that. Get God's heart for your family. Change your confession. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Okay? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let's change our confession. Let's recognize that your family doesn't serve its past. Your family's past can now serve the purposes of God. You don't even lie about what might have happened. You don't ignore it. Just let God use it. Because when He turns the tide, what a testimony. This is what it was. This is what it is. By the power of Christ Himself. All right, number two. Forgive yourself. I want you to offer an olive branch to yourself. I want you to make peace with yourself. Well, how do I do that? Well, how about the God of the universe is at peace with you? If God has made peace with you through the blood of His Son, that's Romans 5:1, who are you to not forgive yourself? Okay? Because you might be one of the ones that's created problems within your family. Things you've done. Things you have tremendous regret for. Maybe you've hurt your children, caused chaos, caused bitterness. Maybe you've done a lot of things wrong. But you don't have to just roll over and say, well, I guess what's been done has been done. Don't do that. Forgive yourself and get up and start over. Proverbs 24:16 says, though a righteous man falls seven times, what does he do? He rises seven times. You don't have to just wish and hope somehow your kids stumble onto Jesus because you blew it. You can repent. Break the generational curses that the enemy used you to bring into your family. Simply share with those you need to share with, I wasn't a good model in this area. Would you please forgive me? Amen. If your kids, your kids may even say, hey, I learned that behavior from you. Then all you do is simply say, I didn't model well in that area. Would you please forgive me? I repent of that. Here's some areas I did do well. Don't model me in that. Model me here. I did these areas well. I repent of these. See, it's still a model when you repent. You're not a model just when you do it right. You're a model when you humble yourself and acknowledge you need Jesus too. And it's good for your kids to know that, because I promise you, as they get older, they're going to blow it and need to know that, you know what, I remember my dad telling me, there's nothing I could do that Jesus wouldn't forgive me for. I need to get up again. Touch your neighbor and say, you're still a model. Number three, forgive the previous generation. Hebrews 12:15, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, doing what? Causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. Boy, it doesn't say you're blessed when you take up a grudge. It doesn't say, boy, how healthy things are for you. No, it's trouble and it's defilement. Don't let the root of bitterness grow. Forgive the previous generation. Forgive those who did you wrong. Yeah, forgive for you. Forgiveness is healthy on a human being. Unforgiveness is not. Goodwill, we feel good. Ill will, we feel sick. You can't change that about yourself. You're not going to reinvent human DNA. God made you for His nature. And His nature is to forgive. You say, well, you don't understand. You don't know what they did to me. I'm going to wait until they apologize. Don't hold your breath. And let me say this, the power to forgive does not come from an apology. It comes from Christ. You want to be empowered to forgive? Recognize how much you've been forgiven of. He's not holding anything over you or against you. So out of that which you've received, you may give and extend. Forgive them. Those who did wrong, those who taught you wrong, those who spoke word curses over you, you'll never amount to anything. I wish you hadn't been born. Any of those things, forgive them. Release the debt. Release the debt. And if you need further help with that, there's a book on the bookshelf called Finding Freedom Through Forgiveness. Some guy named Steve wrote. Grab a hold of it. Get with your spiritual family. Get with people that love you. People that love you will not let you stay in bitterness. If they care about you and your health, they will not. They can point you towards wholeness. But you are no victim. You are no victim. I don't care how bad it's been in your family. You're not a victim. You're a victor in Christ. I'm going to show you how here in just a minute, the truth of that statement. How about this? Start sowing some better seed in your family tree. If the previous generation did it all wrong, or the generation before and the generation before, they did it all wrong, change the seed. Start sowing life into your family tree. Start sowing Christ. Doesn't matter what happened before. You're sowing now for the future. Let that old stuff die with you. Amen? Let it die with you. And change the seed that from me beyond, we're speaking life. We're going to sow life. Where they tried to curse you and brought cursing, you bring blessing to the family. You remember that I told you about two young men in California that had moved into an apartment in San Francisco, and apparently they moved in next to a witch, because every day they'd come home from work or wherever they were, they'd find little animal bones on their doorstep and a little pentagram on their door and all these things. She kept cursing them every day. Guess what the Lord told them to do? Bless her. Bless her. They began praying for her. They began leaving her presence. They began leaving her scriptures on her door, just who she is, how much God loves her. After about a month or two, she walks outside. She heard them coming in one day, and she said to them, I don't know people like you. I don't get it. She said, every time I curse you, you bless me. Every time I do this to you, you do this to me. I don't understand. And she said this, and I quote, would you tell me about the Jesus that you know? Because I've never seen him. Amen? Amen. So in your family tree, time to bless. Touch your neighbor and say, it's time to bless. It's time to bless. We're going to bring blessing to the family. That's what we're going to do. Guard against pride, looking down your nose at the old wineskins of former generations. Let me give you a little nugget. The Lord told me, every new wineskin, because we get it, we see a revelation, we think, man, this is it, God's speaking to us, the new way, the new wineskin. Every new wineskin will be an old one. Humble yourself. And celebrate the prior generation that when their old wineskin now was a new wineskin, they ran with it. And thank God they ran with it, because then you wouldn't be starting where you're starting from if they had run with the old wineskin that used to be a new one. Right. Isn't that good? Humble yourself. Keep your perspective. Hey, I even understand this new wineskin, this incredible revelation. You know what? One day it'll be an old one. And the generation after me, they'll be like, man, you're old school, dude. You're passe. You're out of touch. Number four. I love this one. This is how we do it. Renounce the natural effects of the blood and family and claim the supernatural effects of the blood of Jesus and the family of God. You are a new creation. You have every right to do this. You start claiming the supernatural effects of a different blood that's introduced into your lineage. The very blood of Christ, amen, applied to the doorpost of our heart, death angel passes by, passes over. Don't fall for all that. Well, you know, my dad, he died of cancer. My granddad, he died of cancer. And don't fall for that. Renounce the natural effects of blood and family. Claim the supernatural effects. Matthew 16:19, Jesus said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, whatever you loose on earth. See, we have the power to bind and loose. So we don't deny what the reality in the natural may be. The doctor may say this or that about natural blood in your family. We just deny the natural is all there is. There is spiritual family. There is new creation. There is being born again into the family of God. Everybody with me? That's not a stretch. That's straight out of the Bible. Those things are absolutely true. I bind the effects of natural blood and what I might have inherited that's harmful to my body. I bind the natural effects that have been passed on to me, and I claim the supernatural effects of the very blood of Jesus. By his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I was healed. That's Peter's rendition. There's no doubt natural blood has affected me, but hold on a minute. I've got a new family. I have a new DNA that's been molecule for molecule. The Spirit of God brought his DNA into my heart and my spirit. Amen, somebody. How about this one? Become an actual disciple of Jesus. What do I mean by that? I mean, purpose to mature. Some of you, Jesus is your Savior. You know that he died on the cross for you. You received him into your heart. He saved you from eternal torment. But there's a progression here. I don't want him just be Savior. I want him to be Lord, Chief Counselor, right? Okay, Lord, you're the boss. You're the boss. I want to trust in you for you to lead me and guide me. And then the third step, though, is where he's actually your life. There's some of you here, Jesus is your life. You don't do anything or consider anything apart from what he wants. You want him to be your expression at work. You want him to be your expression while you're watching OU and OSU play football. You know they changed Bedlam to Bellum because there's no D in Bedlam anymore. That's a good one. You didn't get it. No D, no defense. There's no defense. Now you get it. Wow, okay. Yeah, okay, so it's called Bedlam, and then you take the defense out of it, it's called Bellum. Neither of them play any defense. All right, anyway. It was bad. We'll have to edit that out. We want a purpose to mature. Because of this, listen, if you remain immature and you don't learn to stand in faith, listen, to be sourced by Jesus himself, you'll struggle with generational curses and many other flesh patterns in your family. If he doesn't become your life and your Lord and your leader and your empowerment and your very source, you'll struggle. We all need to hear Jesus for ourselves. I can't hear him for you. I can be an example and a proof to you that he speaks, that he's alive in the present tense. He can even use me. He can speak to you through me. He can do that. But the pinnacle for Jesus and God's will in your life is that you hear him for yourself. Do we have an accord? Are we in agreement? So we say, Lord, I want to be matured. I want to get discipled to the point I know Jesus for myself so I can pass on this living Jesus to the next generation. Not a method, not a church membership, but pass the living Jesus on to my children. Remember the jawbone example. It's not about the methods we used. It's about knowing him personally. And we want a purpose then to live by faith instead of murmuring and complaining. I want to mature. I want to get to the point where I can stand in faith. And I don't whine. I don't murmur and gripe. But I get into the word and I learn to fight for my own family. Amen, somebody. Amen. Lord, grow me up where I'm not fighting with my family. I'm fighting for them. When my husband makes me mad, I don't fight with him. I fight for him. Because the same enemy that deals with me has dealt with him. That's why he did something I didn't like. Well, that's a good word, isn't it? One of our greatest shortfalls in this generation is our lack of desire to grow. This idea that, well, Sunday is enough. We want to move from Jesus as Savior to Lord to our very life every day. He's our expression. When people see us, they see him. When words come out of our mouth, they're from him. That's where we want to get to. You know, generational curses are happy to take you back if you decide to just surrender and give up and succumb to them. So we want to be able to grow and mature and develop as a disciple of Jesus, be sourced personally by him. How about this one? Purpose to be your family's Abraham. I mentioned before, Joseph was fourth generation, second in command, four generations. Find out where you are. Maybe your dad, maybe your parents were the Abraham. Maybe you're Isaac and you're continuing the legacy. Maybe you go back to your grandfather. Maybe you're Jacob and you've got some legacy there to stand on. But if you don't, be your family's Abraham. In other words, draw a line in the sand and say, it starts with me. It starts with me. I'm going to be intentional about passing truth on to the next generation. I want to be a father of fathers. How about this? I may not see all that's in my heart that I always wanted to see and I felt like God wanted to do with me. I may not see all that, but that's okay because, Lord, I know a Solomon's coming. David wanted to rebuild the temple. He didn't get it done. Solomon did. Joseph is coming. So, Lord, let me be faithful. Let me be faithful in the truth, in my relationship with you, in investing intentionally into this family. And again, I'm talking about natural sons and daughters and spiritual sons and daughters. Let me be faithful to love God with all my heart in front of my own kids. Amen. So they can rule the nation one day. Maybe it was in your heart that you were going to rule the nation. You may not see it. Remember, God's plan is so big, it's often multi-generation. It's not always accomplished in one. Let's be faithful to show them the truth. I hear the Lord say this, you're the Abraham. Let me move you out from how your family has been. You're the one that's going to bring blessing after blessing. You're the one that everything's going to be different after you. I like that. Just draw a line and say, Lord, it starts with me. Even coming to church in front of your kids is a good idea. Bring your grandkids. Drag them. Well, that doesn't seem right. They don't like it. Well, I always tell my kids, what do the Rolling Stones say? You can't always get what you want. Well, my dad drugged me to church. My grandpa, he drugged me to church. Well, that's better than being on drugs. What kind of drug you want? Drug them to church. And I would encourage you, if they don't want to come, talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about who made them. Talk to them about how life is designed, that they're going to look and look and look for peace in here. And the world will offer them all kinds of stuff, but he's the only one that can satisfy. Amen? I mentioned earlier in this series, it's not enough with this generation to say, I told you so. So don't use that. being part of not just a Sunday morning, but prioritizing discovery groups, discipleship groups, small groups of men one night a week, you know, prioritizing those things and being the Abraham of your family. I think it's awesome, the idea that we may not see everything we want to see in our lifetime, but I'm not just here for me. This isn't just about me, Lord. This is about what's coming. This is about who's coming. My kids, my children's children. I'm not following you, Lord, just for me. This is the word of the Lord. I'm not just following you, Lord, so all my personal situations are awesome. That's a real mindset in the West. We're going to serve God up to the point he does what we want. Flee that mindset and say, Lord, I'm giving to you. If you've never had your motive tested for why you serve and love God, it will be. But I'm sure it has been. Our motive can't be easy street. There's a lot at stake. Speak Genesis 12 over your children, your grandchildren. It says all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Tell them that. Tell your kids you're going to be 1,000 times more than we ever were. Speak blessing to your family tree. Tell them they're the seed of Abraham, the righteousness of God. Join heirs with Jesus. Speak truth to them. All right, last one. Jeremy, you guys can come. Prophesy over your kids and your family. That was a perfect segue, what I just told you there. Speak blessing over them. Bless them with your words. Validate them with your words. Blessing and cursing, yes, can be released a variety of ways, but a primary way is through the mouth. Blessing and cursing. Okay, bitter water, sweet water. So prophesy over them. Pray over them. Speak what God says over them. We, as well as any church on the planet, know what? The truest thing about our kids is what God says about them. Agree with God. Speak what God sees in your children. Don't succumb to the emotions and the moment. And Johnny's not worth his behavior any more than you're worth your behavior. He's worth the value God put in him when he formed him in his mama's womb. And when God died for him, that's his value. Chances are, if he's doing big pieces of stupid and idiotic things, he doesn't know his value. He doesn't know who he really is. Amen? Go ahead and stand with me. You don't give up on God and you don't give up on your kids. How about this one? Yeah, but my husband, man, or my ex-husband, he has such a negative effect on him. He hates God. He doesn't have more effect than the blood of Jesus. He doesn't have more effect than the truth. He doesn't. Share with them their identity, their value, their heritage. They'll get a taste of the world and its identity. I promise you, they'll come back to you and say, Dad, would you tell me the truth about me again? And it'll happen more than once. They're so bombarded with information and what I call identity flux. I mean, it's just this, I'd be this, I'd be this. Pour into them, be intentional. You know, page 3 and page 4 of the True You book out there. Just read that over them. Speak that over them. Have them read it out loud. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You know, have your kids say these things out loud. I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God. It's good for them. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity. You want to receive him into your heart. Just slip your hand up and say, Brother Steve, that's me. Would you pray for me to receive Christ today? Anyone? If you want the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the resolve of the Holy Spirit to be generational in your thinking, you want Him to give you creative ideas of how you can impart truth to your children, grandchildren, and to even your spiritual sons and daughters, if that's you, I want you to open your hands with me this morning. Let me pray with you. Let me pray for you. I believe once the word is preached and released that there's an impartation that's available. Father, in Jesus' name, impart, Lord, these truths to our spirit. Imprint them on our heart. Father, we have lifted our hands to say we want to be intentional. We want to be generational in our thinking. Father, would you give us witty ideas, creative ideas, loving ways that we can impart truth. And Father, for those that have been harmed, those that have been damaged, we release healing, Lord, all over this room right now in Jesus' name. Heal every heart. Break every word curse off of them in Jesus' name. Lord, and loose them to their destiny. Loose them to their truth as they draw a line in the sand and say, it stops with me. There are no more victims in this family. No more victim mindsets in this family. Lord, just heal, heal, heal. Touch, Lord. And those who need to forgive themselves, I thank you. Today is the day. Lord, we repent of pride. If you are willing to put it in the sea of forgetfulness, Lord, who am I to keep hanging on to it like it was yesterday? Forgive me. Even as I forgive myself. There's a Holy Ghost unction here to just make a stand in your family. And it's not mean-spirited, but it is bold and it is confident. Lord, I thank you for just washing all of us, washing our family trees. Lord, the generations above, the generations now, the generations beneath, Lord, just washing us all. Forgiveness, not just in natural family, but spiritual family in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Will you pray this after me, church? Say, Heavenly Father. Come on, say it like you mean it. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we give you our families, our heritage, and our legacies. Father, use us to pass blessing. Woo, from this day forward, to be blessing to all of our family trees and all of our generations to come. We thank you, Father, for this brand new day, this new beginning, and we're empowered by your grace to be the change we want to see. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say it. Amen. Come on, give him praise this morning. You're free. You're free. You're free.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.